It's the sequel that's been awaited even by people who don't like sequels. Film critic Stephen Schiff has a review.
16 years after the hardest act to follow in recent movie history, the Godfather saga has returned. And if Part 3 isn't entirely up to snuff, it's still better than anything Francis Coppola has done since the last installment. The new movie is set in 1979, but it has a curiously 90s feel. It's about going straight and trying to be redeemed. Like the audiences that will probably gobble it up this winter, the movie's hero, Al Pacino's Michael Corleone, regrets the excesses of the past. Now he wants to do good, give to charity, heal the wounds his life of crime has inflicted. If that doesn't sound as sexy as the first two films' Romance of Evil, well, it isn't quite. This is a more meditative, valedictory work. And though there's plenty of violent action in it, the movie feels a lot softer. That's partly because the great theme of the first two movies was the relationship between fathers and sons, a relationship that by its very nature can evoke ambition, competition, violence. The Godfather Part 3 is about a father and his daughter, and that's a relationship more likely to evoke protectiveness and the pursuit of virtue. And so we meet a new Michael Corleone, his voice scarred by years of giving orders, his hair white and spiky, and a little creepy, like Leland Palmer's in Twin Peaks. What he wants now is to go legit, and he thinks he can do it by joining up with the most virtuous enterprise he can imagine, the Vatican. Here he is with his lawyer, played by George Hamilton, confronting the Vatican Bank's head archbishop, played by Donald Donnelly.
Corleone is prepared to deposit $500 million in the Vatican Bank at such time as Mr. Corleone receives majority control of Immobiliare.
Immobiliare could be something new. A European conglomerate. Few families have control of such a company.
It seems in today's world, the power to absolve debt is greater than the power of forgiveness. $600 million.
Don't overestimate the power of forgiveness.
Of course, the Vatican Bank was not the repository of sweetness and light it may have seemed, and Michael's pursuit of redemption only leads him into a more tangled web of corruption, all of which is deftly spun out in the complex but crystal-clear screenplay by Coppola and Mario Puzo. Other things don't work so well. Michael has a nephew, Vincent, who emerges as his spiritual heir, and Andy Garcia plays him with his usual mesmerizing energy, but Vincent's private war with a John Gotti-like thug, played by Joe Mantegna, is hurt by Mantegna's oddly low wattage. Worse still, Vincent is supposed to fall for Michael's innocent daughter, played by Coppola's own young daughter, Sophia. This, as you may have heard, turns out to be the casting blunder of the year, because Sophia, brave though she may be, is neither an actress nor an attractive enough screen presence to make us believe the long, liquid looks Garcia keeps bestowing on her. And yet, in the end, the good stuff is all there. The dark deeds in darkened rooms, the set pieces of gorgeously staged violence, and the richly haunting performance of Al Pacino, who gives Michael a Shakespearean intensity and grandeur. No, it's not quite up to snuff. But even an imperfect Godfather looks better than just about anything else on this year's Christmas list.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for Vanity Fair. Our senior producer is Danny Miller. Chris Spurgeon directs the show. I'm Terry Gross.